And with us, of course, Rod Pyle, editor-in-chief of Ad Astra magazine. And Rod, welcome back to WGN. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Thank you. Yes, it has. I've been on the road a bit, but I'm glad to be back with you guys.
As I say, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. Yes, it has. It's too many minutes. So what did you think of my choices for tonight? I was wondering about that.
I was delightfully thrilled because I was having trouble coming up with something better. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. And to tell you the truth, I don't think I had ever seen the original Body Snatchers all the way through until yesterday, which I greatly enjoyed.
Isn't it good? I mean, it's 1950, what, six, and it's black and white? Yeah, but man.
The year of my birth, yeah. And clearly a little bit affected maybe by the Red Scare, you think?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Well, you see, what got me on this track was my wife and I were searching around on different streaming sources to try to find something new. And there's a limited series, I think it's limited, called Pluribus, P-L-U-R-I-B-U-S. Are you familiar with it then?
I'm familiar with it. I haven't watched it yet. I think it's Apple TV, right?
Yes, it's Apple Plus.
Yeah.
And it is very similar in certain regards to Invasion of the Body Snatchers in that aliens have zapped the Earth with some sort of virus type, with some sort of virus that turns people into, you can only be happy. Everybody's got to be happy all the time. And all once you turn into this happy person, you become one mind with the entire Earth, and there's no more crime, blah, 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 blah. But of course, there's one person that's not too happy about all this. And, you know, how are they going to get that person?
This sounds an awful lot like some of those spas up in Big Sur. Is it Esalen that's up there?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That's all peace, love, and Bobby Sherman all the time. I kid. I just kid.
Peace, love, and Bobby Sherman.
But you know, what's kind of interesting to me is in these different films, and there's also the 1978 remake of the Body Snatchers.
Yes, there is.
We'll talk about.
Yeah.
You know, the goal of the seed pods making us into, you know, giant walking carrots is not necessarily a bad one. I mean, yes, it takes away love and emotion, all the things we hold so dear. Mm-hmm. But it also takes away, as they keep pointing out over and over in the script, it takes away the need for war and conflict and anger and hate and all that. And you're thinking, well, okay, maybe after I'm 35, that's not such a bad idea after I've burned out all my hormones. But I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you how they reacted in this trailer from the 1956 Body Snatchers.
Listen to me. Please listen. If you don't, if you won't, if you fail to understand, and the same incredible terror that's menacing me will strike at you!
They come from another world, spawned in the light years of space, unleashed to take over the bodies and souls of the people of our planet, bringing a new dimension in terror.
Miles, where do they come from?
I don't know. Suddenly, while you're asleep, they'll absorb your minds, your memories.
I don't want any part of it.
You're forgetting something, Miles.
What's that?
You have no choice.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread. As the unimaginable becomes real, the impossible becomes true.
Listen to me! They're not human! Can't you see? Everyone! They're here already! You're next!
You're next! That's right! With those pods turning people into, I don't know.
I like to call it the attack of the giant Brussels sprouts, because that's kind of what they look like. By the way, I looked up a quote.
Yeah.
And this is from the 56 version.
Yes.
There's no need for love, desire, ambition.
That's
faith.
Right. Yeah.
Without them, life is so much easier.
You know,
now, can that be said of rock and roll guys like you, John?
Absolutely not. No.
Just checking.
But it does, you know, I never really thought about it with some sort of conceptual questioning as to what these films really have sort of as a subtext. And that right. is, well, is it really, what do you think? Might it be worth it to give up your emotions and live in a perfect world or not? Because you would lose your individuality, obviously. And then some would equate that with your humanity. But, I mean, body snatchers, they don't even, they're not even thinking about an option. They're scared to they are just, you're next. And we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN.
I will make sure that you will hear from her by the end of the day. And I will continue to speak in this monotone.
720 WGN, a little sloppy getting back to the show here. That's a cut from the Nicole Kidman film, The Invasion, as opposed to Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And she is a psychiatrist, and patients are canceling on her. And that's one of the reasons that she makes the phone call, because she doesn't understand why. And you can tell from the tone of her husband that things are not what you would call normal, so to speak, that the effects of the invasion have invaded that household. And that's, you know, pretty much what this story is about. All of them, as a matter of fact, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and I thought what was interesting between that and Invasion of the Body. So Invasion of the Body Snatchers, these pods come down and they somehow, you know, I don't know if they scrape up our DNA or if they get a look at us with their little plant eyes or whatever. But the next thing you know, they're growing a double of you, right?
Yes.
So right. it's a walking plant, whereas in Invasion, it's this mysterious virus that, you know, can survive 700 degrees of heat and they don't know how to kill it and all that. And then you lie down and you're sort of covered in snot, and then you wake up and peel it off, and there you are. You know, you're no longer yourself. So it's taken over your existing mind as opposed to making you into a plant. Now, when I think about the first movie, you know, we were talking a little earlier about what it would like to be, you know, a human carrot. So you're walking around with your now cloned wife, and you're looking for dinner.
Right.
And you're walking past all the restaurants, which are closing right and left, because all you want is a bag of fertilizer, right? So it's like, oh, what flavor of manure will we have tonight? But the other thing I was wondering is, they were not, nor would I have expected them to be in 1956, but it does boggle the mind as to how do they reproduce? Do they spore? Do they bud? Is as much fun as human beings have?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it would be better. Maybe it wouldn't be, but I
who knows?
Not drawn to it. Yeah.
You know, the, one of the plot points in The Invasion, and maybe it's in the other ones too, and I just have overlooked it, is the expression of any emotion. Once you're part of this new society, you have no emotions. And Nicole Kidman, who is not yet a part of this society, is walking along, and there's this huge car accident in a few lanes over, and she cannot respond in any way, shape, or form, because it would be a dead giveaway. And somebody else, I guess, who has not been affected yet, says to her quietly, you're sweating. They'll notice it.
Oh, yeah, it's a cop walking behind her. That was a cool scene.
Yeah, you're sweating. Don't sweat. That's one thing that they can notice. You know, you've got to fool them. I'm like, yeah, okay.
So you gotta be like Simon Cowell in America Has Talent and just sit there. Or something like that.
Yeah.
I did want to mention, I thought it was interesting. So the original movie, the 56 Invasion of the Body Snatchers, had a budget of $350,000. They went about $32,000 over budget, which is a big deal then. But it earned over $2.5 million in the US over the first year, so that was very good.
$1956.
Yeah, but the 1978 remake also had a budget of $350,000 in greatly inflation reduced money. And yet it had Donald Sutherland and all these cameos. They got actually Kevin McCarthy and the director of the original, Don Siegel, had cameos. So I thought that was, I haven't seen it in a while, but I thought that was quite an achievement given that low budget, especially shooting in San Francisco.
I think my dog has been cloned because I just heard her bark a couple of times. The thing that fascinates me is that we're talking from, you know, 1956 to, you know, the early 2000s when the Nicole Kidman version, or sort of the same movie, but the same plot line, so to speak.
Right.
Is same that themes, yeah. There is a fascination with this kind of plot that we as humans are fascinated with the idea that something comes and takes over our body, and but not unanimously, not all at once, and we begin to notice that people we've known, or even members of our family, or even people who are, you know, our husbands or wives, are suddenly slightly different. And I mean, that's something that these movies have in common. And I mean, they wouldn't go back to that plot again and again and again unless there was some sort of appetite for it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think paranoia works really well in these kind of movies. And I also was reminded of the original version of The Thing from Another World, which is, I think, 1951. Howard Hawks was the guiding hand behind that, although his editor got the director's credit. And then the John Carpenter version of The Thing, which was kind of really in your face, but same idea, right? People are being taken over by this critter. Yeah. And they're kind of flat and they don't have much affect. So yeah, there's this common theme of when you're taken. Now, what I want to know is, where's the movie where when you're taken over by some alien force, you start acting like Dom DeLuise or something? You're happy and you're prancing around, you know? Maybe that would be
Why don't you sit down and write that? I'd watch that film. Come on.
I wrote one movie script in my life and it was so awful. Never really? Again. Yeah.
Was it a sci-fi?
It was. It was a World War II. I thought I mentioned this in the show. Maybe I didn't.
I don't think so.
It was a World War II submarine movie where the submarine is heading off to Tinian to deliver the bomb or something, or they're escorting the Indianapolis. And they get depth charged by a Japanese attack, and it's lights out for everybody. And then they wake up floating on the surface and slowly begin to realize they're in 1995 or whatever. I wrote the thing.
Okay, yeah.
That's one of those things. So I sent it to Roger Corman, the king of the B movies.
Yes, that's right.
Because I'd worked for him briefly. And they said, we're really interested in this, but can you change the location to a radio station? Because we have a standing set. And I'm like,
what?
It's a submarine combat movie.
Change the location to a radio station?
Yes.
But you go from a submarine combat, submarine to a radio station?
They were very budget conscious, you know?
I guess.
So I said, no thanks.
Wow.
And so there it sits in my file cabinet.
That is, that's a good story.
It was weird. So also I wanted to mention, you know, we had Kevin McCarthy playing the, you know, rising. And he's interesting because the beginning of the movie, it's very 1956 dude, white dude in America, father knows best.
Yeah.
He starts kissing every woman he sees from the first scene on. And I think the first woman he kisses is like his secretary. So you're watching this going, oh, no, don't do that. And then the answer to every beat they have is, let's have another drink and smoke another cigarette. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Which is a lot of fun to see.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that
Not
going
quite
on.
The same for Nicole Kidman. Yeah. But,
you know, the, in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original one from 1956, was selected in 1994. For preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress for being culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. So there.
I mean, and it has a 98% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and was top 10 in genre by the American Film Institute. And the 78 sequel actually scored pretty well. I think it was 73% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Well,
so
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you're right. Paranoia rules, you know?
Yes. And in this particular case, it's exactly the same, conceptually, the same paranoia. I mean, I had seen the 1956. I watched the one with, that was in the middle 70s, and I still liked it. I mean, I knew what was going to happen. I knew what was happening. but it didn't affect my enjoyment of it all at all. And I like the Nicole Kidman one too, although a lot of other people don't. But I still bought into that for some reason. We got to take a break. We'll be back and do more. But right now it's the bottom of the hour and time to get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Or is it?
Yeah.
Or
is it?
Or is it?
That's right.
You were expecting a happy ending. I don't think so. No. They're still amongst us. Who knows? Maybe to this day. Who can tell?
Well, going back to the idea of the remake in San Francisco, if you spend much time down on Market Street, you may still wonder if maybe the pod people took over some of the folks there, because there's an awful lot of altered states of mind down there. But
still,
that's just San Francisco these days.
Still altered in San Francisco? They haven't lost that particular mystique?
No, now it's not that. It's drugs.
Well,
lots and lots of drugs.
Hasn't it always been?
Well, I guess so.
No. Yeah. But, I mean,
it used to be really.
Ashbury and all of that?
Yeah, but that was mostly pot and LSD. This is crystal meth. And, people are really
good.
On the down and out. By the way, I forgot to mention.
Yes.
Carolyn Jones, my favorite woman of the 60s as Morticia Adams, was also in the original Body Snatchers, along with. So she played the kind of whiny blonde whose husband is the first to get cloned, at least the first one they see in the process. And Sam Peckinpah, that grim director, was Charlie the meter reader.
No kidding.
He had just a little tiny walk on. I guess he did some work on the script, but nobody involved with the making of the film was particularly happy with the wraparound ending the studio demanded. They kind of liked it the way it was.
Yeah, as long as we're talking about the cast of these films, The Invasion with Nicole Kidman has a pretty decent cast, too. It has Daniel Craig and Jeremy Northam and Jeffrey Wright. High-level actors.
Daniel Craig sci-fi. Has hair.
Pardon me?
Daniel Craig has hair, and I like him because he drives the Jaguar like I do. But didn't you find yourself, knowing what we know of Daniel Craig today, kind of waiting for him to start kicking ass and taking numbers?
He can't. They've gotten to him.
Yeah, but before that,
I don't know. I didn't think of it in such broad strokes. I guess I was taking it too literally.
I'm sorry. I forgot one other thing that I really wanted to mention.
No,
so
ahead.
In the beginning, her creepy ex-husband, who's, I guess, an epidemiologist or something, is up there in front of the, I think it's the CDC or some big assemblage of doctors and international figures, saying they're trying to figure out the infection, because they're telling everybody it's the flu.
Right.
And they mentioned that the Asian countries in Europe are, quarantining and executing all these protocols. But the American guy, who's obviously been taken over, says it's just a virus. We have a vaccine for it. Everything's going to be fine. And I thought that was interesting from 2007, how closely that kind of modeled some of what people thought was happening during the pandemic.
Yeah.
There was a lot of thinking about that, and Bill Gates is trying to inject nanites into your veins and track you from the sky and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I thought, boy, that was forward looking, wasn't it?
You mentioned something earlier that's being referred to here on a text from 847. I heard that Body Snatchers was supposed to be a subtle suggestion of communism infiltrating the country person by person through other communists. You made a reference that it had Cold War overtones to the one from 1956, right?
Well, that's what I thought. There were also, and this is, there's been a lot. I think one of the reasons it's so popular is because there's been tons written about it as people who try to pick it apart. There's another body of film theory, and how detailed they can get, which said, no, it's a reaction to McCarthyism and the Blacklist era.
Wow.
But the author of the original book said he had no political viewpoint. It was just good science fiction.
Yeah, because, sometimes they're just what they are. You know what I mean? I mean, you can interpret so many different things if you want to. You can add meaning to things that really are not there. I mean, they're your interpretation, but they're not the way they were intended by the people who put them together. I mean,
I guess, but I mean, when you were watching it, didn't you feel like this was a very in your face? Communism is coming.
No.
Lock your doors and protect your women. You know?
I did not really? Feel that at all. No.
Oh.
Maybe I should have.
Well, you're free to feel whatever you want, John. But I you're didn't. The boss.
They were just pods, man. They're pods, and they're like lying next to us, and like you said, they're covering us with this coating. Yeah, and then the person is there, but it's not the same. I suppose if you want to,
you know,
communist, you can. I now that you mention it, now you've got me thinking about it.
I'm beginning to think maybe you're one of them.
You're
awfully ready to agree with the commie sliming.
Yes, well, that's because I don't have any emotion. And we'll be back with more on 720 WGN. A clip from The Invasion, John Landecker here at 849 on 720 WGN, talking to Rod Pyle from Ad Astra Magazine. I'm not going to look at these sci-fi movies with the same attitude anymore. I love this idea that The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that some people thought the 1956 version was about communism. You know, I was, 9 years old when I watched that? And I think that's a little young for someone to be going, oh, that's got to be, I'm taking it at face value. I didn't read the communism aspect into it. But like you mentioned in the beginning, it was the middle of the Cold War. You know, Khrushchev's going to come over and, he's going to come over and bang his shoe at the United Nations. I mean,
And I think, you know, guys like Don Siegel, who directed that, were looking, you know, there are a lot of, there are movies like Santa Claus Conquers the Martians that were clearly made for kids. But I think one thing that keeps people interested in Body Snatchers is it was clearly made for a youth audience. I wouldn't say kids, but a youth audience, but also for adults, you know, because it was a thinking movie.
No doubt.
And it had a bunch of interesting themes. And then in The Invasion, you know, also some, it's obviously newer and more complex in its themes and so forth. But I thought one of the interesting elements that made you stop and think was that whole scene with the Russian ambassador.
Yes.
Where he's kind of, they're at a party and he's kind of cornered Nicole Kidman and he's trying to trap her in an argument.
Yeah.
And he ends by saying civilization crumbles when we need it most. And then they also brought back one of his quotes at the very end, but I don't remember what the wording was, but it did make you think twice about, you know, this kind of collision in how we look at our system versus what in this case is the Russian system. What does that mean? Why is his take on it so different? And maybe he liked it when they took him over. I don't know.
Man, I've been watching the wrong movie. I've been watching these movies with different eyes. I guess that's the way to put it. I'm going to go back and look at this again.
In junior college,
I'm going back and looking at these things going, look at that. That's a conspiracy theory right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned also early on that some people connected it with the McCarthy hearings. Is that something you said earlier? Did you reference the McCarthy hearings? Yeah.
Yeah, that they thought it was very reflective of that level of paranoia that they walk among us. And, and in this case, it makes a lot of sense because it's like there's communists in your living room. It's Uncle Jake, you know.
Yeah, under every rock. Look around. The guy... The bag guy is bagging groceries at the grocery store. Look out for him. Cause you know.
One that smiles too much. Yeah. And probably likes rock and roll. So he's definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know. Come on. And enjoys the Beatles song Back in the USSR. I mean, come on. He has to be.
That's right.
Well, what else you got, Rod? I mean, we got about 4 minutes left. You're
a smart
sci-fi and rural science guy.
Well, I'll just remind people to listen to or watch my podcast This Week in Space with Tarek Malik of space.com, available on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. But now with that out of the way, I thought, it was weird because it was just kind of dropped in here and there, but in The Invasion, they did this kind of time warping back and forth cutting. Did you notice that? It was in one of the chase sequences and then a couple of scenes with Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Where suddenly, wait, now we're seeing a clip from 10 minutes further in, and now we're back, and now we're forward.
Yep.
And I thought it was weird because if you're going to use that kind of screen trick, or scripting trick,
right?
Wouldn't you kind of mold it into the whole movie as opposed to just these two areas? It did kind of increase the tension, but mainly just because I was suddenly kind of confused going, wait, what?
Yeah, what did you're you think right. of that? Yeah. I guess that was part of the movie that, I said, put me off, so to speak. I mean, I really liked the first one. I really liked the second one. And the Nicole Kidman one was okay, but there were some things that just didn't strike me as being as effective. And I think you've hit one of them right on the head. Was the way that they edited the jumping from different time frames. Cause that can be confusing.
it was confusing.
Least. Yeah.
And I guess we could, if you don't have anything else top of mind, we could just talk a little teeny bit about the 1978 sequel. I thought Donald Sutherland with his kind of curly fro haircut was sort of a weird choice, but I did like the fact that they put their arms up and screamed every time they saw somebody that wasn't of the mind, of the hive mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I like Donald Sutherland in that. I mean, you know, I think he was supposed to look a little loony, so to speak, because he had like a perm, right? Didn't he, or something like that?
Yeah. That was the thing. It was very much of its time, I guess you'd say.
And so, and he had a very rubbery, expressive face. You know, when he wanted to get scared, I mean, if he panicked, it was like sort of real panic. I thought it was effective. I liked, like, as I said earlier, I liked the second one just as much as the first one.
And it was directed by Philip Kaufman, who 5 years later would go on to do The Right Stuff and suddenly start climbing the big ladder. And sound effects were done, or sound effects, sound editing, soundtrack was done by Ben Burtt, who...
Oh, I know that name.
I guess was at the same time doing Star Wars.
Whoa!
So
this is why I like talking to you. You know so much stuff about these things. It's amazing.
Well, I wasted a lot of time in junior college film analysis class.
Oh, I don't think it was a waste. I don't think so.
Yeah, look at my paycheck sometime. Okay. But I thought that was really good. So I'm going to have to watch that one again now and kind of pay attention.
Yeah, so am I. I'm going back right after I get off the air. I'm just going to watch both of these back to back again.
Really?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, we ought to have a watch party. We can invite all your listeners to come in on a Zoom and sit there and tear it up. It'd be like Mystery Science Theater 3000. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
That would be awesome. We should actually work that out sometime.
Can you do that on the air?
I'll have
to ask. Or is that a separate thing?
I'll have to ask engineering. Well, you could do the audio. I'll run that up the engineering flagpole and see if anybody salutes. Rod, okay. Editor-in-Chief of Ad Astra Magazine, thank you so much for being with us. Hope to talk to you again soon. Keep
your feet on the ground.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.